cars,
super late models,
thunder cars,
modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
Arcas,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, team.
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Race Time Radio. Clouds have blown away, and we've got nothing but beautiful sunshine here today in the province of Ontario. Good evening, and thanks for tuning in to Race Time Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the RTR studio after a busy, busy weekend and some great racing in front of us, Junior. You had a blast down in Toronto, correct?
I did. Yeah, no, it was a good time. I was supposed to attend one more race this weekend, but it didn't work out. Mother Nature held me in downtown Toronto, but what a great weekend. The Honda Indy Toronto, I've been, this is probably my fifth time there. It seems to be different every single time you go. Obviously, the same location, same layout, if you will, always different, and it plays out differently every single time. But what a phenomenal venue. They did a great job once again. They made big improvements to the fan amenities. It was just a really cool event all in all. And everybody that got a chance to watch it, whether it was on Fans Choice or TSN.ca or you know, if you're going to catch it a week from now with the full production, you're in for a good show. Sit down, watch it. One of the best road races that I've ever witnessed in person.
Nice.
It was just a stellar race all in all. No complaints from the fans. Absolutely not, because it was definitely an exciting one.
Pretty weird though, right? When the alarm goes off, tie it down, Toto alarm, you're going to get whacked by lightning, clear out, run away.
Yeah.
That went off on Saturday. But what time? About 4 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, 4 o'clock-ish.
You guys were supposed to go live at 5:30, and it was like an hour and a half before you were to go.
Yeah, there was the Robbie Gordon Stadium trucks, which they've been there when I've been there, but I've never walked up to the grandstands or walked up to the fence and watched them. Well, my God!
Oh, isn't that crazy?
They're hitting a jump, and they're digging at about 80 mph, and they're hitting a 30-degree jump, and they're like 25, 30 feet up.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're digging.
Was Justin Lofton back with them this year?
I didn't see Lofton. No. Casey Mears was there. Robbie Gordon,
cool.
Of course.
And then
Ryan Eversley. There was lots of names. They definitely did a great job. They had a lot of fun. And
Paul Tracy did it one year.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, yeah.
But
wrecked the truck.
Oh, yeah. No, it would be easy to doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But the rains came down during that. There was, of course, the Porsche GT Cup that was going to run between. That got delayed because of Mother Nature, which, of course, pushed back the NASCAR Pinty schedule. So Saturday was a little bit of a washout up at the Indy, but it was definitely still a great event. Mother Nature did play ball with us because got it cleaned
up. Beautiful.
I'm telling you what, it was a 30-minute absolute monsoon, followed up by, 20 minutes of gray skies, and then another 20-minute monsoon, even worse, and then it ended up clearing off to a beautiful sunny night.
The natural truck dryers came out.
And the track was dry by about lap 10 in the GT Cup race.
It was
definitely hot and sticky and muggy, and it was perfect conditions for racing when we went. I think that they're going to take a look at that time frame into the future, because what a beautiful scenic time downtown Toronto.
Right.
We took the green flag at 7 o'clock. The sun was setting, of course. It's getting down low, so it's got
no
that
mosquitoes.
Nice amber light. Oh, of course not.
Yeah.
There's so much smoke down there.
Not
there
in
no
the
mosquitoes.
Concrete.
but just a great event all in all. the top six, I put out a message on social, just, you know, congratulating the top six guys, the top eight guys, really, you know, just for putting on one of the most respectful but hardcore, hard-nosed, aggressive races. You know, everybody left with body damage. There wasn't one guy that didn't leave with a little bit of body damage.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's okay if you're not wrecking or taking guys into the tire barrier, or taking guys into the wall. You know, once they had the door, they gave the lane. They raced very cordially that way, but also used the front bumper, used the back bumper to make moves. And, you know, that is one of the most exciting parts of street racing, you know, street course racing, is that you can use the bumper. The guy can maintain control. You can't use the front bumper going through turn two at Mossport.
No, you
can going through turn two at Toronto.
Yeah, well, the guy isn't going to move that far, right?
And he's
going to be into something.
Exactly.
And a lot of the stuff we've seen today, we ended up watching the replay of the Fans Choice production of it. Yep. So I did get a chance to watch that race today, and there was a lot of self-inflicted injury to body.
Yeah, 100%.
A lot of it.
Yeah, and it definitely happens.
Sure. Yeah, you got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Coming up on the show tonight, let me tell you who we got coming up. Alex Tagliani, tell me he doesn't love the streets of Toronto. He went to Victory Lane just yesterday. Tags is going to join us tonight on the show. I was at the APC race presented by Grisdale yesterday, us, the RTR crew, and it was the London Recreational 100 at Flamborough Speedway. I tell you what, one of the most exciting APC races that I've witnessed. Another first-time winner, Billy Schwarzenberg, goes to Victory Lane. Well, well-deserved. The guy that finished second would have been well, well-deserved as well. Trayton Lapsevich came home second, and in third spot, Ryan Kimmel. He had a great race. But tonight we're going to catch up with Billy Schwarzenberg and talk to him about that APC race that he won at Flamborough last night. We'll also catch up with Jonathan Hicken. We got to call him old back-to-back Hicken now. He won at PEI a week ago. And then just last night he won at Petty International Raceway. So scored victory twice in a row. And we're going to catch up with PEI's Jonathan Hicken tonight on the show.
Now,
we'll also hear from Kenny Wallace to preview the IWK 250 that comes up next weekend.
Looking forward to catching up with Kenny.
Yeah.
I got a note from David Hicken, and it was just basically the post of Jonathan Hicken taking the victory, second victory in a row, and all it said was at Joe Chisholm Jr., you know, like at Joe Chisholm.
Yeah.
You know, last week I said that he wasn't a favorite.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
I stand behind that comment that he wasn't.
But?
Now you start winning back-to-back races, you become the favorite.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah. I mean, when you win back-to-back races, you're putting your flag in the ground with any racing series, let alone the Pro Stock Tour.
IWK 250 favorite?
Yes and no.
Well, come on, you can't have it both ways.
I think he is
now
a favorite.
Yes.
To win in the IWK 250.
How about Donald? Donald, the guy's untouchable at that racetrack.
I mean, there's a lot of favorites going
on. Oh, how about Fleming? Five times.
Not a favorite.
No, not a favorite.
Not a favorite right now.
Okay.
No. And to be honest with you, Donald Vincent? Chisholm, for me, Donald Chisholm going into the IWK 250 this year is not a favorite.
Really?
Just by how he's ran so far out of the gate.
Yeah, but he always places and does unbelievable.
I got it. He does a great job every time he straps in at Riverside, no matter what. But
Cassius?
Really, the yes, favorite.
Cassius,
he's got to be classed as a favorite.
Hasn't ran one tour race this year,
but knows
that racetrack.
Correct.
Okay.
Every time he rolls out, he's got to be a favorite
because
he's very consistent and very fast.
How about
not to say that Donald's not, and
I'm
not saying anything negative here.
No,
with anybody.
I know you're not.
And
Sean Tucker,
yeah, not a favorite.
Not a favorite.
Not a favorite. Just the past couple of years. He
hasn't been in a car.
Not saying I would be surprised if Sean Tucker won the race.
Yes.
But not a favorite.
Not a favorite. Okay.
Dylan Blankhorn, favorite.
Cole Butcher,
favorite.
Favorite.
Jonathan Hicken now moves into that category just simply for the speed that he's got.
Yeah.
I would put him in the favorite category. I would put Cassius Clark in the favorite category. And really, if you're going to go outside, you have to put Turple in there as well, just simply because of the speed. Even though I would say that Donald Chisholm's got a better record recently in the IWK 250.
Yeah, well, he's won it.
Correct.
He's won it.
Yep.
Where guys that haven't won it,
yep,
that may be a favorite, I've got to say, the 99 of Craig Slonway.
Yes, agreed.
He has
been running good this year.
Top three at Riverside.
Yep.
At most of the most recent races.
Correct.
He's been top three.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to put him into the non-winner IWK 250 favorite list.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So we'll talk more about the IWK.
And Kenny, you got to ask me, Kenny Wallace.
Hello, Kenny Wallace.
Favorite. Yes.
He only had a third place finish. Do you think he's going to, well, I shouldn't say that because he's got the trophy.
But, I mean, he had a win because of, you know, technical knockout.
Right, right.
It wasn't, he didn't, you know, take the bull by the horns and win the race.
Right.
But the second go round is when Regan Smith won it.
Yes, yes.
After seeing the track, after seeing everything. So I honestly think that he's going to come out of the box swinging. Just, you know, he wants to win it now. He knows what it's all about. And he knows yeah, he didn't cross the line first last year. So I think that Kenny Wallace needs to go in the favorite category.
I bet he's going to be balls to the wall next week.
100%. She's either going to come back in a box or she's going to come back with a flag hanging
Fix
over
her,
out
Donald.
The window.
Yeah, I can hear him. Fix her, Donald.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk. How about Honda Indy Toronto? It was the Pinty's Grand Prix just yesterday under a beautiful sun-drenched sky. And our next guest has to be a guy that absolutely loves the streets of Toronto because he does great there every time. He did great again yesterday, coming home with the Pinty's Grand Prix checkered flag in his hand. And he drives the number 18, Ferona EpiPen, and a whole pile of other great supporters. Let's welcome in Canada's own Alex Tagliani. What's going on, Tags? Congratulations on the win.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. It was amazing. Obviously, I love to be here. It was an important race for us. Seems like we can turn around our championship here because we always start in a bad way at Mossport. So it was good for the team to be so strong in qualifying and also close the deal because we weren't able to close the deal last year. So it was a good thing.
Isn't that incredible, Tags, when you look at CTMP and yourself? Look at the success you've had there in trucks and in everything that you've run. Yeah, you've had a lot of bad luck fall your way in the spring race. But come the fall race, look out, Tags is number one at that joint. And then the streets of Toronto, you just seem to be right in the top two every time you hit the track.
Yeah, I mean, we have, Andrew is our... been our main competitor there for many years. We always seem to run with him. He's very strong there, so he gave us a run for our money for sure. But we talk many times, with each other, and we see that the series has been very strong. There's a big change, in the level of competition that there is with everyone. So you can't take anything. You can definitely not know who's gonna get it and who's gonna be quick. I'm just very thankful that we were able to stay out of trouble and we managed to score maximum points. For this race, it was very important. For the championship and also because we had the car. But as you've seen, this racetrack is unique, and it always brings a lot of drama because of the nature of it. You never know, when if you're going to be able to manage to stay up front, because of all those restarts, and it's super inviting to get down the inside and to pull a last minute move when there's a restart. So you're always exposed. It's always the risk that you have in situation like that, but people race super clean, aggressively but clean. We dodged a big bullet because we got nailed from the back, and we got some, you know, body work that were flying off, and we were afraid that we were going to get called, you know, into the pits with a black flag. But finally, we managed to avoid that because the quarter panel was very very well attached. So yeah, I mean, it was just a really kind of a cool thing that we were finally able to manage to pull off the win there. You know, like I said, especially with how strong we've been running all weekend and all those restarts. It was, I know it was nerve-wracking for Bronte. It was nerve-wracking for all the people that were there to support us. And my good friend Colin from Cantorque was up potting. And, yeah, Grandstand was going crazy in turn three. So if it was nerve-wracking for all of us, it was probably a good show for the fans.
Absolutely. And, Alex, I know this is an easy comment to say after a win, but it seems like not long ago, we're going to hit the rewind button to about 2 years ago, and it didn't seem like Alex Tagliani was having any fun racing for a little bit in the Pinty Series. Now, fast forward to this year, to this weekend, not only this weekend, but the beginning of this year, and really last year because he had a great run, but Alex Tagliani is having fun at the racetrack right now. What's that like?
Yeah, honestly, a few things. I would say, you know, we gel really well with the team. We had 2 years where we were strong on road course and not that good on ovals. Another year, we dominated on an oval by winning three times on ovals. And then we struggled on the road course, something that, you know, like I had a hard time to accept. So it made me, you know, pretty angry. And then finally last year, we put together, you know, a championship that has consistency, and we were able to battle, and then it got fun. But this year, you know, the main thing I'll tell you is these new tires, man. These new tires on road course, when you come out of there, and it's not just me, you know, I talked to Andrew, I talked to Gary, I talked to Lacroix, and man, it's you know, the intensity that you need to put to pull a lap out in, you know, CTMP or here in Toronto, you know, we were a second quicker than last year with a track that was actually slower because of the new concrete and the new epoxy that they put on. We were literally like a second quicker than last year. So the tires are so much more grippier, and you know, the excitement that you have as a driver when you put an amazing lap or are just driving it to try to get a lap, it's really intense. And then, you know, when you have a race tire that has a bit of deck, then there's the tire management situation that you have to think of. And then you're more into a racing mode, right? And in the past, we were running on a tire that was just, you know, called a hockey puck, right? And a tire that is good for 100 laps, in my opinion, it's not a race tire, you know, and it's not what racing is all about. And if you look at the series these days, you know, there's no schmuck that drives the cars, right? They're all super drivers. They all, like, you know, on the road course, a ton of drivers have experience on road course. We have the best of the best on ovals as well. So when you're out there, like, you can't just, oh, you know, car's not that good, a tenth or two off, we'll be okay. No, if you're a tenth or two off, you're not okay. You're probably P10. So that's that whole intensity, the new tire, the level of competition raising, you know, just the team working really hard and having had like some history with them and you know, confidence and feeling that, you know, they believe in your ability to drive on all type of track. This whole thing starts to make, you know, sense. And all that together makes you have fun when you go to the racetrack. You know, if you don't have all those pieces of the puzzle, and it's not enjoyable, then you either have to make a change to get the fun back. If not, you know, there's too much work in racing to not have fun when you're at the track.
Absolutely. 100%. I couldn't say it any better myself. Looking at talking about the tires now, we gotta go into the biggest ego booster of the weekend, and that's qualifying day for you, and really the demoralizer for everybody else in the field. You laid down a lap, but take us back. Of course, I'm going to kind of take the field back here, or take the fans back. But when they dropped the green flag in your group, everybody stayed on the track, and you actually ended up doing an extra lap, thinking that you could go out and get it. I was one of those, you know, fans standing up there saying, he doesn't have a shot at it. He's just killing his tires, and we know that these tires lose grip over time. You put an extra lap on, and you lit the lamp with that lap. How did that come about? How did you know that you had that much left in the car?
Yeah, obviously, well, you know, I mean, you know how it is as a racer. You know in within yourself if you've done a good lap, the previous one. And what made me want to stay is that I really didn't feel inside of me that my lap, the lap that I did a 1:16.0, was the best lap I could have done. And what made me decide to stay on the track to do an extra lap. When I talked to Tyler, I said, what was the pull up? And he goes, a 16.0. And I said, okay, I'm going to do one more. Because the lap that I did was okay, but was not at my liking.
Yep.
And I thought that I left maybe some time on the table on the braking in one and in three, and then maybe my turn in turn eight was not that great. It was sloppy. So I said, if I can just do the same thing everywhere, but just improve in those sections, then, you know, like, I don't need to beat, you know, anybody by 3/10. You know, I just need a little.
Yep.
So I kind of try to clean up my lap. And, yes, the tires were not at their best, but because the lap was super clean, it was good enough to, you know, to do a 15.9. So, yeah, I was happy that it turned out that way, because sometimes when you try and you're past the peak of the tire and you come back and you do a 16.3, you look like a moron to
yep.
have done an extra lap. But, yeah, it was, I just cleaned it up. I just cleaned up my previous lap and focused on making sure that I was making no mistakes, and it ended up working out.
Well, I will tell you that I've been to numerous qualifying sessions for numerous different race series, and really it brought me back to like 1999 or 2000 at Daytona for qualifying, when there used to be 25,000 people there for qualifying day, and somebody would go get the pole, the place would go nuts, and you would be able to hear the fans. You don't hear that anymore at during qualifying day, but when you cross that start-finish line with a 15.9 with an extra lap on your tires, and the announcer went nuts, the crowd was going nuts. That was
yeah.
It was cool. Like, I on a qualifying day, you don't hear that. Like, I haven't heard that, you know. And now I've never been to Indy 500 qualifying day where you've sat on the pole, so I've imagined you've heard the crowd go nuts on qualifying day before. But I tell you what, I've never heard the crowd go that ballistic for a qualifying lap for a race, you know, for a weekend. So hats off to you, my friend. That was definitely a highlight of the weekend for
yeah,
across the
you.
Board.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But you know the thing that we have to remember is that these qualifying sessions are going to be like that, you know, from now on. And it's because we can try to pull a lap very quickly out of the pits because the tires are on right away. Honestly, talk to anybody and they will tell you, like, when you get out of the pits with these tires, they feel like you had tire blankets on. You know, you can actually, you know, step on it and just lean on the car in turn one right away from the pit lane. And if you cool them down, they'll give you something, you know, they'll give you something more, depending on where your tire pressures are. So I think these qualifying sessions on the road course are going to be exciting for the fans. And, you know, we have two road courses to go, and I think it's going to be like that. And honestly, the guys, when they're in the car, using those tires, pushing to the limit is just incredible. I mean, we were like, you know, you know, the drivers tell you, like, we were almost last in turn four in Mossport, in qualifying. And, man, it's quick, right, with our car. Is, you know, when you're almost doing the lap time, or you're doing the lap time of a truck, at Mossport, you know, with, 200 horsepower or less than what they have, it's, you know, you need to go quick in the corners to make up all that time. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, those tires are absolutely changing the whole, you know, dynamic of driving our cars, and it's enjoyable. I really, that's why you see me with a smile on my face. No matter at Mossport, I qualified third, and I was like smiling and laughing and just joking around with Clute and Andrew, saying, "Man, this is nuts!" It's like I never like expected like a NASCAR car to be able to have that sort of performance on a racetrack, and it's all due to the tires, and it gives you so much pleasure to drive it. So, yeah, that brings me back to a proper race car, and yeah, it's a lot of fun.
We're with Alex Stagliani tonight. He did go to Victory Lane just one day ago, not even 24 hours ago, at the Honda Indy Toronto on the streets of Toronto. It was a Pinty's Grand Prix, and Alex Stagliani, of course, won not only the pole, he won the race, and an exciting green-white checker on the end of it. Alex, I have to ask you, we've seen this race play out a year ago with you and Ranger. I predicted it before the race. I said, is this going to be another Tagliani-Ranger show? I kind of think so. I got to ask you, was it a mental thing on that final restart? Was there a lot of stuff flashing through your mind about last year? And is that how you attacked that final restart?
Come on. I mean, it was unfinished last year, right? So I didn't want to lose it in the same way. And we definitely, tried to learn from being a bit too cautious or being too nice. And it worked out, you know, but I said it before, the nature of the track, the way it is, the pole sitter on a restart, where you can go almost 6-7 wide on that race, on that straightaway, and it funnels down, you know, to just barely like, you know, 1.5 car in the middle of the corner, you end up being the reference point. So if you break a bit early, the guy in third place is going to break a bit later and he's going to try you. If you break too deep and you put yourself in a position where you're going to run wide, he breaks a bit earlier and he tries to get you at the apex. If you protect a lot to avoid getting passed by the third place car, then you give the possibility of the second place car to break really well on the rubber line and get a very, very fast entry, and you could get you on the outside like it happened with the 22 on one restart. So it's great to have track position. But the nature of the track and the fact that you're arriving at a very good speed and then you have a big braking zone makes you the reference point, you know, for braking, and you're a bit of a sitting duck. So it's always nerve-wracking to do restarts like that. But, you know, overall, I think what was nice is the fact that, you know, the race was fairly clean, tight, you know, with a lot of good guys, you know, running around each other. And And apparently it was a good spectacle. So that's what the series needs. We need to continue to do stuff like that. The way we ran at Mossport as well, you know, the finish with Andrew and Kevin was basically nail biting until, you know, the start finish line. So I think that's what the series need, and that's what we have, because we have good drivers, we have good cars, good team. And it's not going to get easier. I think it's just going to continue to get tougher and tougher as we go and as everybody start learning those tires.
Well, NASCAR and the television channels all are very famous for when they go to promote a race, they like using the spills, the crashes, the flips, and the flies I got a suggestion for them when they're promoting Honda Indy Toronto for 2020. Show them that last restart, and that'll make fans of them, and ticket sales will be there. I don't know what you're going to do in 2020, but you can bet you and Andrew Ranger and probably that 74 and the 22 that wrecked this time, I bet you're all four going to be there in 2020. It's going to be off the hook.
We're definitely working already with sponsors to be back. I mean, it's no secret that I think there's so many good things happening right now in the series that, you know, with so many positives, there's no reason why we don't want to continue. And that's what's nice. You know, we're already starting some discussion for getting everything sorted out, you know, sooner rather than later. With the sponsor and get everything ready for next year. So, you know, we're exciting, you know, the way things are going at the moment. And, it's just going to get better.
Final question for you tonight there, Tags. I got to ask you, of course, the IndyCar series that you used to be in sat atop the pole for the Indianapolis 500. Those guys were in town. Simon Pagenaud goes to Victory Lane. Did you spend any time with the IndyCar guys? I know you got a lot of friends over on that paddock area. And did you catch up with any old buds this weekend?
I was just with Scott Dixon. He's a very good friend of mine. I love him. You know, we used to hang out a lot with the family when I was living in Indy. And he finished second. He was definitely the one that I was cheering for. Was nice that the weather was 95% great all weekend long. The fans had a great show. Promoters have done a great job. Great crowd. It was fun to spend some time with them and to chit chat, talk about old memories. I'm focused on NASCAR, and it's fun to see also those guys in front of the TV and in front of the, you know, the live feed, you know, watching our race. Racing here is a good thing when they're in town.
Well, it's easy to promote a race, or I should say it's easy to sell tickets when you promote a race properly and the drivers and teams get up for that race and put a show on like IndyCar did and like the Pindy Series did this weekend. Great on you guys. Congratulations on everything. And much continued success. Saskatoon is next for you. Speaking of oval tracks, that's one you need to score at, buddy.
Yeah, last year we did good. We two podium out of three races out west. So if we can come out of there with the same amount of points we did last year, I think it's going to make us look good in the championship. You know, we turn our season around always around this time. So hopefully it will continue.
Well, good luck in it, Alex. I know we look forward to getting you back on Racetime Radio at the earliest possible convenience. And I know it's going to happen the next time we get a flag. So good luck in it, and safe travels to the West Coast.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You want to believe it? That's Alex Tagliani. Great catching up with Tags tonight.
Yeah, definitely. He drove a whale of a race and really drove just a great weekend all in all. I do want to kind of zero in on something.
Can you zero in on it after the break?
Absolutely.
Right after the break, we'll catch in on what Junior is going to zero in on. We'll be back. Stay there.
This is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win, featuring the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour and NASCAR star Kenny Wallace for the 2019 IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Canada's ultimate short track race, Saturday, July 20th at Riverside International Speedway. Join us at the track or live flag to flag on racetimeradio.com. Pre-race coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, live on Racetime Radio. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Oh, live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Sirius XM Channel 167. Or maybe 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia through the week. Or how about the Performance Motorsport Network.com that plays Racetime Radio a bunch through the week? Or maybe Gearhead Country Radio. If you have missed any of this broadcast and want to go back and re-listen to it, maybe you just missed Tagliani. You want to have a listen to that, trust me. Just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. Can't get any easier than that. Hit subscribe, hit like, do all that neat stuff. Tell your friends to do the same, and we'll all get a little bit bigger, and the sport will grow just a bunch here in Canada. Now, before the break, Junior wanted to zero in on something, and I got a funny feeling it's about the Pinty's race, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
The we discuss lap times and stuff like that quite a bit, and you know the closeness of a division, right?
Yep.
And you look at the APC practice lineup, and you know there was three tenths from front to like 20th.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
It was nuts.
That's the sign of a healthy series. Same thing with the Pro Stock Tour. Same thing with the Pinty's Tour. And really in the race, I like taking a look at the race lap times and seeing who was really good and who shook out the best and all that stuff.
Yeah, qualifying times are one thing.
Absolutely.
But when you get into race,
yep,
that's hard to keep it going.
You can lay down a lap and go from there. But really, between Tagliani, Ranger, LP Dumoulin, Kevin Lacroix, as well down into Marc-Antoine Cameron, heartbreaking day for the 22 car.
Caused it himself,
but it was heartbreaking.
You lose
the front wheels and
he got really wanted to win that race.
Got into the dirty stuff and I mean just drove straight through the fence
How about Jason White?
It happens.
Jason White knocked the tail off it.
That was a
Yikes.
You know, drove on by a DJ and then wheel hopped it two corners later and just destroyed that 21 car, the back end. But
oops.
I mean, when you take a look at it, Tagliani's best lap time was a minute 16.959.
Wow.
The best lap time by Ranger is a minute 16.888.
Wow.
The best lap time by Kevin Lacroix, a minute 16.888.
Same as Ranger. Mirror image.
Fastest lap time of the race overall was Marc-Antoine Cameron. And he turned a minute 16.727.
Wow, that's close, isn't it?
You know, like when you look at that close a field, and even you know, when you look at Alex being a minute 16.959 as the winner, LP Dumoulin was a minute 17.032. So really, there's between the winner and and you know LP Dumoulin, there's you're talking you know just under a tenth.
Yeah.
So just a crazy close amount of competition.
When rules are right and tech does its job,
correct.
That's what happens.
Yep.
And that is cool, isn't it? Now you were speaking with the race director.
Absolutely. Race director, we had a new race director, Chris Rice, come in and for this weekend at you know, Honda Indy Toronto, and really just, you know, he was astounded by the competition level that was there.
Isn't that cool?
The people that were here. Of course, Chris is the director of the NASCAR K&N East and West. So just... very happy with the health of the series and the Pinty series.
I got to say something. I like for a race director in the NASCAR Pinty series, I don't think they could find anybody any better than Doug Gonder.
Yeah.
I really think Doug Gonder should be in there in the race director role. But I'm out here. They are making their decisions. But I'll tell you, if I was at NASCAR and Doug Gonder was available, I'd be putting him in as a race director. That guy would be an awesome race director. He's a smart cookie.
Absolutely.
And he's been there, done that, worked with ARCA, worked with a lot of different series, and worked with Pinty's for a long time.
It's a really interesting dynamic, and they call it so differently, you know, in NASCAR, and it's so much different than, you know, Saturday night racing, and Doug would do a great job, 100%.
Hands down.
And really, Sharpie does a great job as well, you know. Sharpie is our regular race director, and learning the ropes and kind of, you know, everybody in that role is going to go through growing pains because there's so many scenarios that get thrown at you throughout the course of that race that it's just an incredible, everybody is clawing for everything, and you know, you're looking for so many different advantages or disadvantages for your competitors. Alex Tagliani mentioned, and I would run into a burning building to help Alex Tagliani, you know, like he's a great guy, a great competitor, but on the spotter stand in the pit area, wherever you are, your competitors. I was the first guy to the NASCAR official saying, look at the body work on that 18.
Yeah.
He's got to go. You got to black flag him.
It was flapping. But it was well attached. It did not fly off.
Absolutely, it didn't. And they did it. It was a great call. I just really hope that it's all about consistency, right?
If he was second, they would have tugged him, I bet.
I don't know.
Or third.
I don't know.
It's pretty hard to tug the leader.
It would really suck if you know, in the future you have bodywork dragging and you get black flagged.
Dragging is one thing. Or flapping. Okay, flapping is another. Dragging it wasn't.
No, dragging it wasn't.
Flapping it was.
It was hardcore flapping.
Really flapping.
And you know, I don't think anybody would bust my chops too hard about saying that you know, there was multiple guys saying, look at that car,
English and French.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's everybody's looking for an advantage, and NASCAR did a great job yesterday. Just hats off to them.
But I want to tell you, if you missed this Pinty's Grand Prix from Toronto, you do want to key in to TSN next week when it comes on TSN. You don't want to miss it. Have a look at it.
Yes.
100%. I am famous for not seeing the TSN stuff because I already know the winner. We usually talk to the winner.
Yep.
I get the recap from you. I see highlights, whether it be on Fans
Choice.
Well, and
it's Saturday. Usually you're at a racetrack, right?
And we're tied up. But I can tell you from watching the race today, you don't want to miss it. It will be cool after Joel puts the spin on it all. It will be a cool broadcast. I can just about guarantee that.
Oh, yeah. With the different camera angles and stuff of all the crazy stuff that happens. You know, the second to last restart, right before Cameron drove into the wall, you know, Tagliani talking about getting in his head, right? You're talking about the mental mind games. You asked him about that question. Really, the second to last restart, everybody kind of figured, because it was three to go. Three to go when we took the green, so it wasn't the first attempt at overtime. It was just to finish the race out. Then Marc Antoine had his troubles and
his
you know there was an overtime attempt, really the way that Alex started the race, on the second to last restart, he started into the brakes at the 500 foot mark, and everybody usually starts hitting the brake at about the 300 foot mark. Just being very defensive. And that's what allowed Cameron to get around him on the outside, but protected from the third place car, which was
the
Ranger.
Faster. Ranger, well, maybe not the faster.
Not the faster.
You said the 22 was faster.
Yeah. So it was just watching that second to last restart. In car camera footage from that will be absolutely spectacular, because really it stacked up the entire field. There's a lot of carnage bodywork wise, but it was really definitely neat to watch and definitely catch it.
Watch the mind games. You can see it playing out. You can actually see it playing out. I did today, and I'll tell you what, it was a cool dynamic to see within a course of a race. Junior, we're going to hit this break because I'm a little short on breaks. And when we come back, we're going to have Billy Schwarzenberg that won the London Recreational 100, the APC Series presented by Grisdale. We did the race live last night on racetimeradio.com. You can go back and have a listen to it. I'll tell you what, it was a smoker. But Billy, you want to talk about mind and restarts? We're going to talk to Billy about it because he was second on 3 of the 4 restarts. And on the final one, Billy Schwarzenberg was not going to be denied. And we're going to talk to him next right here on Race Time. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, race fans, this is Larry Berrio, and you're listening to Race Time Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win, featuring the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour and NASCAR star Kenny Wallace for the 2019 IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Canada's ultimate short track race, Saturday, July 20th at Riverside International Speedway. Join us at the track or live flag to flag on racetimeradio.com. Pre-race coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, live on Racetime Radio. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. Well, last night, we did the APC Series presented by Grisdale. It was the London Recreational 100. And I'll tell you what, 25 cars on the racetrack, 39 laps, I want to say. We went green from the green flag to lap 39. We had a couple of kerfuffles. Where
you had
guys
a couple what?
Spun out.
Well, what do you have?
Kerfuffles.
Kerfuffles?
A couple.
What the hell's a kerfuffle?
Well, you should have been there. You would have seen it. A kerfuffle is just a oops.
So is it two fenders that get bent up creates a kerfuffle?
Well, no. When the three car of Shea Gimel, the point leader, hit the wall, that was not a kerfuffle. We can't say it. Even on Sirius XM, we're not going to attempt to call what that was.
So it's worse than Howard Stern. Ooh,
yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Howard would dive all over it. But anyway, let me tell you, at the end of that race, I don't want to spoil it for you, but the number 86 car, Spyra Fire Protection Ford, I do believe. The number 86. Is it a Ford or is it a Chevy? He's going to answer that. We have Billy Schwarzenberg, the winner, with us. Billy, what's happening, brother? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Ford or Chevy? I can't remember.
We're running a Ford on the 86.
Ah, that's what I kind of thought, but I wasn't quite sure. Man, what a race for you last night, kiddo. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a wild ride, man. I didn't see that coming, but happy it happened, you know?
But I got to tell you, we had, I'm going to say, and it could be, I could be short one or I could be over one, but I want to say we had four attempts to restart that race and to get that final lap in, or at least the final laps in. And Billy, you were in that top three, if not second, on most of them. And the number 32 of Trayton Lapcevich that had led a lot of the race was doing a damn good job on those restarts. And it didn't seem like you were going to get him until the last restart. And then Billy Schwarzenberg, you weren't going to be denied. Away you went. You got to his outside, and man, you powered through it. Take us back through some of those restarts before the big one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly how many there was. I know there was a lot of restarts there. We were either second or third, and just kind of tuck in there and ride along. I knew we had a good points run going. That second last restart, Trayton kind of pulled ahead, and we kind of caught up to him, and I was right on him. And I kind of felt like we were a bit better than him in the green track. And the next restart there, we just kind of, I don't know, pulled ahead on the outside and just took it away, you know. Great run by us. I can't believe it happened still. I'm shocked. Trayton had a great run going. His car was fast all day. And I didn't think we really had enough for them, but, yeah, we managed to pull it off, man.
I'll tell you, like, you did a fantastic job. I did say on the broadcast, you cannot count out that number 86. I know we had counted you out a couple of times because it looked like the 32 was stronger on the restarts. But I did say on that final restart, do not, gentlemen, count out the number 86 of Billy Schwarzenberg. I said he is maybe saving something for the end here, and be damned if you didn't do it, my friend. It was awesome. We were all coming unglued.
Yeah, like I said, I knew it was the last shot we had, right? And Kimball there, he got a great restart as well. But I saw I had no spot to tuck in. It was kind of make or break. You know, you're either going to the front or you're going to the back. The outside's a really tough spot, Flamborough Speedway, and kind of hold them down and hope for the best, get a better run maybe, and pull ahead, and it just worked out. It's crazy to me. I've seen it done many of times. I've never really felt like I've been able to pull that move off, but it worked out last night.
Yeah, those experience laps at Flamborough Speedway do come into effect, right? You were a mini stock champion, multiple winner there. You've done it in a late model. You've got millions of laps around that track in a late model. All of those come to pay dividends at one point, and it did last night.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it helps a lot. The mini stock thing, like we ran the mini stock for a long time, and that definitely helped me learn all the tracks and just kind of get a feel for everything before stepping into the late model. Definitely a huge part of my racing experience comes from the mini stock, and the late model's a bit of a different animal, but kind of the same move worked out last night as kind of trying the four-cylinder class. So it was kind of cool how it worked out and home track, and yeah, it feels great, man.
Absolutely. Billy, you know, you guys have put together a completely different program, a 180 from where you were last year. You guys, you know, upgraded equipment, and sounds like you guys have really picked up speed, turned a corner, and really out of the box at Sunset Speedway, you had a great run. So really, you're doing an amazing job on the point side and being consistent. Obviously, getting to victory lane is a big monkey off your shoulders, but I got to look back to Sauble Speedway just, you know, a short time ago, last weekend. You guys hauled up and broke in practice, and I looked at Andrew Grizel and I said, you know, those guys are lucky they're here, because that would have happened in practice for the APC race at Flamborough. And, you know, that's the coolest thing. You know, you got to look at the positives from the negatives. And it's just like when you break on test day. It sucks, but you broke on test day instead of race day. And that's definitely a cool thing that you guys were able to get it back together and get back out there for the APC race.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a disappointment hauling all the way from Guelph up to Sauble to run that race. And we kind of had high hopes going in that we were going to get a good kind of baseline for our next APC race there up in Sauble. And, yeah, it broke in practice and totally unexpected. Definitely glad it happened at Sauble rather than the APC race, just because we are so up in the points right now, and that would definitely hurt us. Like you said, it sucked at the time, but definitely a blessing at the same time. And glad we were able to get that fixed, because you're absolutely right. It would have broken practice at the APC race, and we would have probably been out for the day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I heard from someone on Facebook that somebody has to go check the owner of the 86 at the end of that race. They may need to use the paddles. Kenny was so excited that you won that race. It's got to feel great for Kenny Spira. I know how much you two have put into this program, and it's just awesome to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Ken is the drive behind this whole team. He's the man, you know. He's the boss. He controls the whole operation, and to get a win for him is absolutely incredible. I mean, he was so excited he didn't even make it to victory lane. I don't know. He said he got swarmed in the pits. I don't know what happened there, but didn't see him in victory lane. He was over the moon. Super happy for him and everyone on our team.
That means you had two victory lanes, one in tech lane, right?
Yeah. Two of them. You got a bunch of sponsors I bet you want to thank.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to thank High Grade, Steel Roofing, Spire Fire Protection, Cambridge Sourcer Sports, Dominion Churchill, Urban Air Insurance, Guelph Wishbone Group Children, Gunk, Inspired Graphics, Lucas, National Fire Equipment, Nestle Waters, Schwarzenberg College, Sunville Homes, CSS, Sick Pollock, Vinny's, Wicks, and Wolseley. Thank you all so much. It's incredible the support we get on this team. We couldn't do it without any of these guys.
Well, you did fantastic. You did absolutely all of them proud. We got 30 seconds. I want your thoughts heading into Jucasa, because that's your next round, bud. Fast and furious.
Yeah, Jucasa is a super quick track. We kind of struggled there in the past. We learned some things last time we were there, and hoping we can build on that and, you know, at least go for a top five finish. Consistency is key in this series. Definitely need to stay up front and keep it clean and keep it going, you know, and I'm going to have a shot at this thing.
Billy, ride that wave of momentum, buddy. You are a feature winner in the APC series presented by Chrysteel. Congratulations.
Thanks so much, guys.
You bet. That's Billy Schwarzenberg. How about that, Junior? That's exciting for him.
Big news, and just a great crew, great guys, and I imagine it was a fan favorite, you know, seeing him go to victory lane.
Oh, the fans went crazy at Flamborough. I got to tell you, Jerry Paxton, the call from the infield, Jamie Maudsley, and Gary Colling, and myself were up in the booth. We had a great time doing the broadcast. Go to racetimeradio.com. You'll see it sitting right there. Click on it. Have a listen to it. It's a dynamite race. It'll keep you entertained all the way through. I can guarantee it. But I got to tell you, we got to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and some highlights that you may have missed over this hour. But we're going to get you caught up. And then hour two comes along. We got Jonathan Hicken coming up. We've also got Kenny Wallace coming up. Lots coming at you in hour two. We'll talk IWK 250 next on Race Time. Stay there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And we are back with you for hour two tonight on Race Time Radio. I do want to just say before we end off the APC stuff, and I know we'll get Jonathan Hicken on here in a couple of minutes or so, and we will switch the conversation over to the Pro Stock Tour and Petty International Raceway that went green yesterday. I do want to touch on some of the winners and the finishing order. Got to thank Brenda Shunneman for sending me the results. What I try and do at the end of every live broadcast is do an unofficial finish.
Rundown. Yeah.
And the Pro Stock Tour, they already know it's coming, right?
Yeah.
They print it immediately and hand it over to me, and I usually have it long before. Last night, the scorekeepers were having a little difficulty with that score clock, and things they had to go back and revisit some stuff. And Brenda, I asked for it. I said, look, those guys are going to throw it to me. I need the unofficial results. If I can get them, please, and I want to pass them on to the listeners. Couldn't do that last night, and they did send them to me today, though. So I'm going to go through it, but Sue just indicated that I have Jonathan Hicken on the hotline, and I don't want to keep that boy waiting. I will go through those APC, the update, and we'll do that in a couple moments. But let's talk to another winner, shall we? This time, a back-to-back winner. He won PEI and Oyster Bed Speedway a week ago. He rolls into Petty International Raceway, track that he has won at many times. And he did it again. Back-to-back in the Pro Stock Tour. That's tough to do, Junior.
A guy that firmly put my boot in my mouth.
Yes, he did. Let's welcome in the number five of Jonathan Hicken. Hey, Johnny, how you doing, buddy?
Good, guys. How you doing tonight?
I bet you're doing just, like, super fine, man. You went to Victory Lane again. Take us through Petty. Yeah. Take us through it.
The day was unreal. Car was really good out of the trailer, to be honest with you. Never made a whole lot of changes. Practice one, top of the board, all three practices, actually. And then went out and won our heat race. And with that new rule that they have there, we ended up starting 11th and come to the front of the feature. It was, car was excellent, actually, all day. Stayed strong.
Jonathan, of course, winning the heat race and then winning the feature and being top of the board all day long, that's planting a pretty big flag in the ground, my friend. That's you jump from being a contender to being a favorite. That draws a pretty big.
Oh, in your book, he's always been a favorite.
A pretty big circle on your back, my friend.
Yeah, maybe it does point a target. I don't know, but just keeping everybody honest and car's been on rails all summer so far. I mean, it's I get no complaints, any adjustments that you make to it, the answers to them. And I mean, Peoria, they got a good thing going on. King Racing, all the Peoria cars that they're got going on through there. Every one of them seem to be working well when they are racing, and just you can't wait to get to the next race.
We got the same Jonathan Hicken. We got the same crew. Yeah, we got a little different car underneath you. But we got the same nucleus, the same chemistry, the same all of that. Put the difference for us last year to this year, because you've got more success this year. There's absolutely no doubt.
Oh, yeah, more success this year. I mean, having a new chassis, it's pretty well all the same components as I had on my old car. Just trying new things, and this new chassis just seems to answer everything that you do to it. And very small changes, actually. You could take bigger swings at the other car, and it might not work, but this, you feel every little adjustment to it. And we're trying to be as consistent as we can and work in the shop later hours, and it seems to pay off.
Yeah, it does. And that's kind of cool when you can make an adjustment, even a fine adjustment, and actually feel it in your butt sitting in that seat or in your hands. That's something that's got to be a dream for a race car driver of any sort.
Oh, it definitely makes the day a whole lot better. It's just you spend your hours in the shop, myself and all my guys. You put in your hours at the shop week in and week out, and it makes it definitely a whole lot nicer when you get to the track and unload and you're top of the board in all three practices. It just boosts the confidence, and it makes for a smoother day all around.
So you started 11th, and with the new parts for trucks rule, if you win a feature, you're not going to start any better than 11th in the field. So the car would have had to been good in traffic and out in clean air. Did it like clean air better?
It was good. It was good all around, inside, outside. I took my time. I mean, it's 150 laps. Starting 11th is not really that far back. Just took my time, waited for everybody to get sorted out, pick them off when it was easy for me to pick them off. And we were gaining on the leader there at that point, and closing in fairly quick. And I was running 85-90%, just trying to save my stuff because I knew Gosby and Blythorn, like some fellows, would be trying to do the same thing. I ended up saving a little bit more at the end, I guess, because I got around Blythorn fairly easy on the last restart, I guess, with about 30 to go, and stretched it out to what I had to, and still saved a little bit for if there happened to be another caution. So
that's saying a ton. When you got the 67 at Dylan Blythorn in your rear view mirror and you're pulling away, that's saying a ton, my friend.
Oh, yeah, he's good there. Well, he's good everywhere you go. He's on the ball. He knows his stuff, and he's a hard racer too, but he knows how to save his stuff, and you just gotta play the same game and try to beat them to the punch.
You gotta love Petty International Raceway. You've won the Mike Stevens Memorial a couple of times, I do believe. You've had lots of feature success there. What is it about that racetrack in the number 5?
It really feels like home, to be honest with you. Short track, tight corners, high banks. I mean, it's just a place that really suits me to a T, to be honest with you. I mean, when you go to a track that you're real comfortable with, it definitely helps out, and you don't have to worry about learning the track or anything like that. Everything just kind of falls right into place.
Well, speaking of riding a wave of momentum, my friend, you were on the biggest wave of the season so far with back-to-back victories in one of the toughest tours in Canada. Now we had to probably the toughest race to win in Canada, the IWK 250 at Riverside International, just a less than a week away. What are the preparations like, and what are the thoughts heading into that IWK that I know you want to win?
Well, we worked on the car all day today just to get a good start at it, not rush at it, just take our time. But, I mean, IWK 250, the biggest race of the year. I've never won a 250, and been trying a lot of years. I'm awful close, but you got guys like Dylan Blythorn, Donald Chisholm, Cassius Clark, and anybody really, top 10. It can go to anybody. Cole Butcher, all them fellas are always strong, week in and week out, and it's a tough race to win. Everybody goes to win it. Everybody seems to prepare the cars a lot better for that race, and I'm hoping I can be there at the end to make a run for it.
And that'll be a race that you won't hear a peep out of Cassius or any of those guys that are with the Fury car. You're going to be on your own. Either that or they're going to be hanging out in your pit trying to find out what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. Cassius is tough, you know, and Andrew and King Racing, they always get their stuff prepared well, but we've been working back and forth a lot this year, and he likes our stuff going just as much as theirs, you know what I mean? Makes it good for business, and everybody working together, it makes for good race cars.
Big setup difference, Jonathan, between what you had at Petty and at PEI compared to what you're going to roll into Riverside. Are you going to be there Thursday night, and is it a big setup change?
Not a lot, really. Spring changes and your gears, of course. A lot of maintenance going in, service and hubs and brakes and all that kind of stuff. It's just there's a lot of maintenance and preparation for it, but we're going to be there Thursday, 4 to 8 o'clock, I think it is, and we'll try to get to the bottom of it and hopefully have a fast car right out of the trailer. But it'll just give you a little peace of mind for Saturday, what it's going to be like.
Yeah, and you're going to try to shoot to the top of the port on Thursday night, just like everybody else, right?
Well, it always seems to be a race on the board, but as long as mine's comfortable and rotate in the middle, I mean, that's all we can look for if we're in shooting range. And hopefully got a piece on Saturday.
My question was going to be right along that same line.
Was it?
And I knew he was going to lie.
Yeah. Ah.
I knew he was going to lie. He lied to you. He was going to lie to me. Everybody looks at that board by the sounds of it. We've had Paul McLean on last week, and that's definitely, it's definitely a hard spot. If you're second on that board, you want to be P1. So I guarantee you're going to be quick. If you're fastest in all three practices, you win the heat. And you win the feature the week before, you're going to be close to the top of that board, and going into it, you got to be excited. That's for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's just Saturday's the big picture. I mean, if we're going to be close, we're not going to burn it up all night for sure. Just to save our stuff for Saturday and see what we got.
So with the 250s, and obviously it's a points race for the tour. But it's almost a special, right? Like it's ran almost like a special, but you still get awarded points.
Yeah.
With the new 11th place rule, do you agree with that heading into it? I know I'm putting you on the spot there, but do you agree with that rule for the 250s? Where
I do.
Yeah. That's cool.
I do. I think it makes a good race for the fans. I mean, it's a points race for everybody that's in the tour. I mean, I think it puts on a real good show for the fans. You're not getting the same fellas up front week in and week out and going to the front and leading all the laps. It kind of gives everybody a shot at it. But 250 laps is a lot of time. I mean, anywhere from 10th to 15th is not really the end of the world. Just got to keep the fenders on it and be there at the end, really.
That's yeah, cool.
And we've seen lots of changing in those 250s without any input. But you know what, Jonathan? I agree wholeheartedly with you about the show. I like it better than the hat dance that we used to do and the randomness of where guys were going to start. I love this format. Got to put it out to the tour for creating some more excitement. And it hasn't hurt the show. It's actually helped it.
Yeah. As long as they don't have a roulette wheel, I'll be all set.
Yeah. No more of that Riverside roulette for you, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's something I don't agree with.
Jonathan,
not too much I don't agree with, but that's one of them.
Yeah, after the big concert, Jonathan's going to go find that roulette wheel and burn it out in the campground.
Yeah. That's a possibility.
Well,
if you do, take a picture of it, and we'll post it on the Racetime Radio Twitter.
Yeah, we'll do, guys.
Well, a real good way to have a beer with Kenny Wallace, I guarantee you, is if you stick that 5 atop the board, Kenny Wallace won't be long before he finds your pit asking for a beer and a little bit of help.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. A good chance to be around.
Yeah, it's going to be a hoot. Jonathan, I can't wait to watch you again. Man, I missed the last two. I really look forward to not only broadcasting the IWK 250, but to watch my favorite cars in the world fly around that beautiful racetrack for 250 laps. I look forward to it. Congratulations on the success. Double bubble. Let's see if you can do 3 in a row, and we'll save your spot. How's that?
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Have a good time. Go watch those fireworks, brother.
Yes, will do. Thanks, guys.
That's Jonathan Hicken, driver of the number 5 out in on Canada's East Coast. He's out in PEI. That's where he lives. And I talked to him before the show. He said, yeah, we're going to just on our way home. And, oh, and it went quiet. Maybe I lost him. And then he come right back up. He goes, oh, nope, I'm here. He said, I've seen a copper. I said, oh, don't get caught with that phone. I'm going to drop you right now. He goes, no, it's okay, cool. I said, okay, can I get you on tonight? Yeah. He said, we're just making our way home. Then we're going to go watch the fireworks display.
Nice.
And he said, hopefully I don't get pulled over. I said, I hope not. I wonder because of me.
I wonder where the trophy rode home.
We should ask
him. Didn't even think to ask him.
Well, yeah.
The last trophy, hopefully it came home. By the sounds of it, they went to a beach party with the Canada Day 150 trophy.
Right. Yeah, that was a big concert.
See that? He's just got a win next weekend at the IWK, and we'll talk to him all over again.
Well, I'll tell you what, that would be a big one. That would be a huge one. If Johnny can do that one, I'll tell you. And he's been good at that racetrack.
Yeah, 100%.
He's been really good.
100%.
So you never know. You got to tune in and find out. Better yet, be with us at Riverside International Speedway. We got more to talk about. Kenny Wallace on the other side of the break.
I can't believe we don't have Paul McLean on tonight. It feels weird.
No, we had him on last week.
It's the week before the IWK 250. This is the time slot where we always have Paul McLean.
I know, but he's busy. He's busy every year.
Where are you, Paul?
He's busy. I can guarantee he's busy getting ready for that IWK. Trailers will be pulling in now.
No, he said don't
Monday.
Show up early.
Yeah, I know.
Remember? But last week he said don't show up early, guys.
They're going to show up tonight.
I wouldn't doubt it either. Yeah.
Okay, quick break. We'll be back.
Hey, race fans. Donald Chisholm from Riverside Speedway in Nova Scotia, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home great, away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Taking you all the way to the track. And back. It's Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you tonight, live from the Racetime Radio studio. So glad you could tune in. It was a busy, busy weekend. We've heard from Alex Tagliani. We heard from Billy Schwarzenberg, the winner at the APC race. It was the London Recreational 100. And then we just heard from Jonathan Hicken, back-to-back winner in the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour out on Canada's East Coast. Before we get Kenny Wallace, I do want to fill you in on the I don't know whether these are the official results or unofficial results of the London Recreational 100, but here they come at you. It was the 86 of Billy Schwarzenberg. 25 cars in all, Junior. It was 25-car field. Another great field.
Yeah, for sure.
Billy won the race. Second, the number 32 of Trayton Lapcevich. He could have quite easily won that race. just not in the cards for the 32 last night under a beautiful, beautiful night at Flamborough Speedway. He came so, so close to getting his first victory. The number 29 of Ryan Kimble was second. Great race for Ryan Kimble. He needed it.
Yeah, two guys in a row with, you know, Billy Schwarzenberg needed a win. He's been supporting the series for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's been right up front for you know, quite a few races. And got out of the box with a win. That's big. Ryan Kimble has had more than his fair share of rough luck. And to come home second, it's got to feel like a win for those guys.
Sure does. Now, in the fourth spot was from Chesley, Ontario, the number 17 of Josh Stoddy. Another good run for Josh Stoddy. He had a little fender flap. I want to say it was on the right side of the car.
Yeah, he got run over. Did you see the picture of Dale Shaw up on top of him?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
He was right up on top of him. With that kerfuffle, if you want to call
that
down in three and four.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
That was a big kerfuffle.
Yep.
Felt really, really, really bad for the 89C of Sean Chenoweth.
Yeah.
They destroyed that race car at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
And I mean D with a capital D, Stroy.
Yep.
He was out. He said, that is it.
Yep.
I'm done. I'm not doing it no more. And he started running the modified. And, well, when you're a racer and you run for London Recreational,
yep,
you're never done.
No.
You're never done. So they got busy in the shop. And I'm telling you what, those guys worked night and day.
Yep.
And they tore that brand new car all to bits and pieces and fixed it totally, put it all back together, and it came back onto the racetrack now in July.
Yeah.
He wrecked it in May or April and made it back out in July. He started 17th and rolled his way right up into the top five. And when it was coming out of turn two, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Turn two, I don't know what happened. Everything, all I've seen were cars going everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And he ended up in the infield.
Flying. He went through the infield, scorching it through the infield.
Yep.
And got collected. Yep. I don't think the car was real bad. Maybe not even like superficial damage to it, but took him out of contention like big time.
Yeah.
And he was coming up gradually. There is no such thing as making a fast move in the APC series. You're not going to go from, 15th or 20th to the front in 10 laps.
No, God, no.
You're not going to do it.
No.
You got to be methodical.
Well, at a place like Chukasa, you could.
Well, yeah.
If everybody's tires
gave up and you got new skins on.
Well, no, that'll never happen because they've got a tire roll. They've got four tire roll. But, at a place like Chukasa, if your car's on, you can drive up through the field pretty good because you got a lot of space, right?
Yes.
Yep. You can make the car work on the top. You can make the car work on the bottom. So, but at a place like Flamborough, you're not doing that.
No.
You're just not. It will not happen.
Yeah, it's not going to be in the cards.
Yep.
I left off in fourth spot. Let's go to fifth spot now. Oh, the 52 of Jake Sheridan. I can't look at you with a pair of glasses on. It looks, you're all foggy. The 52 of Jake Sheridan that destroyed his car at Sauble Beach.
Yep.
And I kind of thought Jake was done. He turned around and got that car put back together, and it ran like a bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, P5. Did really good. P5 for the 52. Back to sixth spot, the 72 of Junior Farley. He led this race for quite a while.
Yeah, started on the pole, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, like, through the invert.
Through the invert.
And then led for a while and ended up falling back a little bit.
Seventh spot went to the 27 of Matt Box, a beautiful looking race car.
Yeah,
like brand new looking.
Working with Hanley, and changed up their program a lot. They came out to Flamborough, or was it Chukasa? Chukasa was with the white 27.
Yes, beautiful
and,
white and blue.
Turned a corner and seemed to come to life at Delaware a bit. Had a great run, and then as well, talking to a couple of the guys, he seemed like he was right on par, right with speed and everything at Flamborough. So definitely, they made a big change. They were with McCall for a long time, and had nice equipment but really didn't have the success. They changed it up, changed up their program a bit, and working with Jeff and those guys, and look at the success that they're having.
Well, right side of the car still looked like it did when he pulled out onto the racetrack.
Left side didn't.
Not left side.
Yep.
Needs a door.
Yeah.
And a little more. But he
sounds like there was a lot of body damage up
he
there.
He had a good race. Seventh place he finished up. How about this, Junior? Eighth spot, the number 81 of Andrew Gurzel. I bet you that's his best finish of the year so far.
No, I think he was right up there at Delaware, too. But
oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
he was in the pits on lap 39. Something was going on.
Yeah. I spoke to him after the race.
What did he have to say?
Called him on the way back, and he said that the stagger closed right up. Basically, they had two and a quarter inches of stagger.
Really?
And just one of the tires just grew randomly, and
wrong tire on?
Yeah, well, no, it just not that I know of.
The
information that I had was that the stagger closed right up, but. Yeah, tough break for them, but he said everything else was good.
Ninth spot, a really good run for the number 10 from Port Elgin, Tom Gibbons, in that Carquest machine.
Yep.
He looked pretty good.
Good.
And 10th spot, the number 84, J.R. Fitzpatrick, last year's champ. In 11th spot, it was Patrick Friel. 13th was the 21 of Matt Pertigo.
Who was in 12th?
In 12th spot, the number one. Sorry.
Yeah.
I missed 12th.
Yep.
The number one of Sean McGlynn. 13th spot was Pertigo. 14th, the 78 of Lawrence. 15th spot was the 54 of Danny Benedict. Fast in practice.
Started outside pole.
Ah.
Yeah, fell back.
Didn't stay there long.
Nope.
16th spot was your sunset winner, the 47 of Jordan Sims. 18th went to Sean
McGlynn.
McGlynn. Sean Chenoweth.
Okay.
19th spot was Tyler in the 97D. 20th spot. I go down to 20th, and it was Hudson Nagy.
Okay.
There was 25 cars, but I only go down to 20.
Nice.
But that's how they all shook out. It was a damn good race. If you get a chance, go to racetimeradio.com, have a listen to it.
For sure.
I believe you will really, really enjoy it.
For sure.
I'm going to hit this break, get the last break out of the way. When we come back, we're going to hear from Kenny Wallace. We'll talk IWK 250. Stay with us.
Oui, bonjour, Bruno Gaillette, gazman de la voiture numéro 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win, featuring the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour and NASCAR star Kenny Wallace for the 2019 IWK 250, presented by Steve Lewis. Canada's ultimate short track race, Saturday, July 20th at Riverside International Speedway. Join us at the track or live flag to flag on racetimeradio.com. Pre-race coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Live on Racetime Radio. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk. Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the SiriusXM app.
More short track
live,
coast to coast,
next. Only on Racetime Radio. If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
We're back, and that is the final break of the night, and Ked brings us back. No, you're not listening to a repeat. I say the same thing every week because I leave Ked there. On the end of the fourth break, he always brings us back one of my favorite lead guitar solos right there. What are you looking at, Junior?
Nothing.
Huh? No. You got your phone up.
And, yeah, I'm just scrolling
bunch
through.
Bunch of information? Or?
I'm just scrolling through. I just wanted to see what everybody was saying. I was just taking a look at old Facebook machine. The old Facebook machine.
Yeah?
Yeah, just kind of plugging around here.
We
got to give a big shout out to Darren Dryden. Of course, he went to Victory Lane in the Can-Am Midgets.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good for Darren.
So that's he did a great job.
And how about John Carley? He wins He won one Canadian Vintage Modified race.
Yep.
Marshall won the second one. And I was going to take Carley in the second one.
Yep.
Because he looked so good in the first one.
Yep.
But then he forgot to put his fuel cap on, and he was out on the racetrack for like three laps, just hammering fuel. And then they must have been listening to the broadcast because he went off.
Black flagged him.
And, yeah, he got the fuel.
How many cars did they have?
No, they didn't have many.
No,
they didn't have many. They were lacking.
Man.
I asked Gary about that. He's the announcer at Flamborough Speedway.
Yep.
I said, Gary, what are they doing car count-wise? He said they fluctuate.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come out with a decent car count, and then other nights they come out and they're short.
Yeah.
So it's a rebuilding year for the Canadian Vintage Modifieds. There's no doubt.
Yep.
Rebuilding year for a lot of different divisions.
It is.
There is really good health in some divisions. And there is some real poor attendance in others.
I had a really long – we had a lot of time to kill with the rain delay. All the spotters are gathered up, and, you know, a few of us had a really, you know, sizable chat about the amount of divisions. You know, there was one gentleman that said that, you know, it's difficult when you look at the car count. We were talking about the car count in the Penny Series, actually. You know, 19 at the Honda Indy Toronto.
Normally 30 cars.
Well, not normally. It's just in yesteryear, we would get 30 cars, right? And back in the day, you know, it seems to come down a little bit.
Yep.
You know, really, it's been the same for the last couple of years where it's been, you know, 20, 23, 24 cars.
I hope they get like 19 or 20 out west. Well, I'm hoping.
Yeah,
I'm hoping.
I think it's going to be about 18 at Saskatoon and 17 at Edmonton. I think that's where the number kind of shook out. But when you look at it, and you know, you and I have had the same conversation, and we had another conversation at the racetrack. The amount of divisions in Ontario right now is stupid. We have 17 divisions on asphalt in across 5 racetracks.
I agree.
We have 17 divisions. And you look at it, it's like somebody gets pissed off and they decide to start another division. Well, we're going to start this division, and this is how we're going to do it. And we're going to run this for brakes, and then we're going to run this for lower control arms, and we're going to put this weight penalty so that we can include these other cars. And, you know, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, and I don't even want to mention any names, but the fact that we have so many divisions, if you look at a major corporation or a major industry, what happens when they get too big or too
they
spread out?
They get too many SKUs.
They end up axing SKUs. They end up axing personnel to downsize.
Yep.
They get more efficient, and they get more proficient with what they have.
Right.
And you look at the Canadian... We are downsizing in all the wrong areas. We're losing racetracks, right? We're losing racetracks, number one.
Yep.
You look at Barrie Speedway, gone. Mossport, gone. Kawartha, gone. In Ontario.
Yeah, that's true.
And we have so many people with race cars. The industry is vast. There's tons of guys that have spent a lot of money on race cars that don't roll them out of the shop, number one. because they either A, don't have the funding, or B, don't have the time.
They don't have a home to,
and they don't have the ability to take it to a professional builder and just say, fix it for me.
Right.
So they just don't race, or they come out and they're unprepared, because there are guys that bring it to a professional builder to do it. Now, that is a cost problem. We can fix cost problems all day long. But the amount of there has to be a downsizing, and there has to be a, you know, I'm sorry, but there's got to be a pain point for divisions leaving.
And what does Petrie say?
It's a right sizing.
Petrie says it in NASCAR.
Yeah.
You can't unlearn what you learned.
You can't.
You can't unlearn that. We can save money, but we can't unlearn what they've learned.
Correct. But even you look at back in the day with NASCAR, you know, they always had the ARCA series. They always had the Goodies Dash series. They always had the Slim Jim series.
Yeah.
You know, there was always a diverse, you know, opportunity for you to go race. But right now there's three top tier series, right? You've got the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series. Well, I'm sorry, but unless you're full fields and you're sending guys home, it's not sustainable to have three. You know, it's
well,
not.
They should have three.
I mean, is it though?
Yes.
Should you?
Yes.
And,
yes.
Well, you're looking at NASCAR. They're doing this very same thing as we are talking about right now with ARCA and K&N. They're going to do a right sizing. They're going to do a right sizing. That needs to happen in Ontario. 5 years ago, it needed to happen. And it continually.
But what are you going to?
They continually add. No, I mean, there's going to be some people pissed off with race cars that can't race anymore if you do it. But it's got to happen. And the guys who are there, that, you know, are willing to race.
Yeah.
If that division can't race anymore, I'm sorry. That guy's going to spend his money, and he's going to buy another car that can race. If he's a true racer.
Or he'd switch the car he's got if possible.
The fact that we have 30 midgets, you know, little outlaw midgets. And I'm not picking on anybody here by saying this.
Right.
There's 30 outlaw midgets, right? Or however many there are, 25. There's 25 Legends cars, right? Great. Those are great car counts. Those should
sustainable,
remain.
Leave them alone.
Sustainable. Leave them alone. Don't add a hurricane midget in there.
Grow them.
Grow them. Don't add a hurricane midget in there.
Right.
We've got, and we were talking about it yesterday, we've got five divisions that if you had a super stock that you could run in with semi-major changes.
Yeah, I agree. Right? The Superstock rules are all over the map.
Yeah, so you look at Superstocks at Sauble, Sunset, and Delaware, minimal changes to run as a regular Superstock, right, across those tracks, minimal changes. But that same car, with minimal changes again, can go run the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup or the Hot Rod Series.
Yes.
Well, what would happen if there was no Hot Rod Series and there was no Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series? The Sportsman cars would grow. Or if nobody ran Thunder cars anymore, nobody ran Super Stocks anymore, the Oscar Hot Rods would grow and the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series would grow.
I like that. Now, the Sportsman Cup Series has grown.
Now, and I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
I'm not pointing my finger, because if we do that, or they'll get mad at us for doing that, right? For pointing at that series and saying that's what we should change.
Yeah.
But the fact that you've got all these different tiers of series, you know, it's cancerous for the sport, because you buy one car and then the entire model of racing is that you start low and work your way up high.
Yeah.
And by the end of your career, you're at the highest level that you can make
it
financially, skills, all those things, right?
Right.
So in a perfect world on asphalt, you're going to start in a mini stock. You're going to end
in a
Pinty's car or a super late model,
right?
Something like that, right?
Right.
But this whole you know, spectrum of divisions that we have is very skewed right now, and there needs to be a right sizing. If there's not, I'm sorry. If they continually add series, well, you're just asking to have eight cars in each of them, because that's where the industry is.
That's where it's heading. In your opinion, that's good.
I mean,
yeah, and I don't disagree with that opinion. There are too many divisions. I totally agree.
Too many divisions and not enough people.
Yeah,
it's not if you're not gonna, you know,
if they were all full, you'd be
if they were all full, it would be great.
Yeah, there'd be no problem, would there?
No, but if they're not all full, what happens with a mall that
with
is not full?
Yeah, it usually closes.
Well, they add a couple of bigger stores, right? Yeah. And you know, they amalgamate three or four stores and they put in a Sport Check.
Yeah.
Or a, you know, whatever it may be. But I'm telling you right now, if the amount of divisions that we have is the problem, not necessarily the tracks, the people, or anything else. Everything could be successful if you each track ran three divisions with three rule books. I mean, you're golden.
Well, you want to talk full fields? I can tell you right now, we're going to have full fields at the IWK 250 next weekend at Riverside International Speedway. And a guy that I got a quote from, this isn't live by any stretch this time around. Kenny Wallace is racing right now. So we got this pre-show, and I'm going to spin it for you right now. Here's Kenny Wallace talking IWK 250. He is coming back. Well, what do you say we get to the hotline, and let's bring in that guy that's coming back for the IWK 250 at Riverside International Speedway in just about a week from now. Let's bring in Mr. Kenny Wallace. What's going on there, Herminator? How are you?
Well, I'm honored to be on your legendary radio show. I'm doing good. Just been racing that Toyota dirt car of mine about 10 out of the last 13 nights. So we've been doing a lot of racing.
Absolutely. How's the results side of that coming along, Ken? I know you guys were fixing for the Nationals and everything else. How's you making out?
So we are done with all the summer national dirt races we can run. We ended up running 12. They take your best eight finishes. We are third in the points. It all ends in Fairbury, Illinois, around the end of July. We had a big two-day show there. So, you know, it was a good year. A little disappointed that I didn't get a win. The trophies are very rare. You know, we run about 12 of them. But Nick Hoffman has been really tough to beat. Tyler Nicely. So we're third best right now. We're definitely going to end up in the top five. So, you know, nothing bad happened. We just got beat, and right now we're in third.
Kenny, nothing wrong with that, really. When you look at the competition, look at the variety and everything that you're up against, man, that's saying the top five. Hey, that's incredible.
It's okay. Hey, by the way, just want to let you know, I popped the top on a cold Bud Light. It's beer 30 here, but, you know, you always want to be your best. You can't win them all. The great Dick Trickle taught me, as long as you can justify it. So we just weren't good enough. But it doesn't mean we're not racers. So, you know, you can get outrun every other day or every other year. So right now we got outrun. But, you know, we're racing. Competition is tough. It ain't easy. You know, we go up against the best. It's not like we run a racetrack here as a local track. Everything we do is against the best in dirt racing. And like I told you, some of those names, you know, seven-time champion Mike Harrison, Nick Hoffman, Tyler Nicely, these guys are tough to beat. So I take a lot of pride in running with them because, you know, in any day we can go run a local race and, you know, rattle off 10, 20 wins. But we run with the best, and I take a lot of pride in that.
Absolutely, Kenny, and I know just about a week from now you're going to be up against the best in Eastern Canada. Of course, the IWK 250 coming up. You know what it's all about this year, brother? Yeah, you were up here last year. You came away with the win. What's the thoughts heading into this year's IWK 250 as a defending winner?
Well, a little bit different. So excited to finally talk my wife into leaving the house. You know, we have four wonderful grandbabies. She puts a lot of effort into watching them, and so the daughters are going to let Mama Kim come with me. I'm super excited about that, so we'll roll out of St. Louis, and, you know, we'll go through Toronto, land in Halifax, and, you know, spend Thursday with the wonderful children at the IWK hospital there. We'll stop at Caterpillar, then we'll come into the racetrack there at Riverside on Thursday night, and that's going to be very important to me. Although 2 weeks ago, I didn't run South Bend, Indiana. We run fifth, so I feel like, you know, I'm as good as I was last year. I got a little asphalt in me before I come up there. But that practice is always important for me. you know, just to get the steering wheel where I need it and then get back into rhythm. And but, yeah, so I'm excited about Kim coming. Probably going to show her around on Friday, go see some sights, which I didn't do last year because I was kind of by myself. Eat some lobster and have a good time and see all my friends and fans up there. Do a little bit of partying on Thursday night, I believe, and they're at the racetrack. So looking forward to everything that I just said.
Kenny, this is great news. I'll tell you, and for Kim to be coming along this time is truly going to be exciting for both of you. It's going to work out really good. Kenny, have you talked to the guys in the Nova Racing shop? Do you know if you're in the exact same car you were last year? And are things going to be pretty well set up the way they were last year? Or are you guys going to throw the kitchen sink at it?
They put a picture on Twitter of my car. It looks like the same car, but I don't know. But like you said, you know, I kind of know what I'm into. You know, last year I'd been racing so much dirt, and I still have, but I learned so much. You know, I had been running that dirt car and turning, going in the corner and kind of turning the steering wheel on dirt a little bit to the left and a lot right. So I found myself learning last year, you know, at Riverside, that when I lowered my steering wheel and pulled the wheel back closer to my body, I had to turn the wheel left, and I kind of forgot to turn the wheel left harder, you know, really turn it on. So so I'll be ready to go when I get there for that. And then, you know, I kind of know what I'm in for. I know the bottom of the racetracks, you know, the only way to be, if you get shoved up out of the groove, you got to be patient to get back down. And then, you know, the other hand, when you're down there and that guy's holding you up, you got to give him a pop, get him out of the way. You know, you can't wreck anybody, but they got to know you're there, you know, and those are the things I did not know last year. So I'll be super focused when we start practice on Thursday night with all the competitors.
Absolutely. This is no dog and pony show, listeners. Trust me, when Kenny Wallace comes in, he's not just coming in to sign autographs and ride around in a car. Kenny Wallace genuinely comes in. He will sign a billion autographs. You always do, Kenny, but you're also coming in to actually win the IWK 250. It's going to be amazing, and it's even cooler that you know what you're stepping into. The fans know Kenny Wallace and absolutely love him, and this is going to be a real good time, I do believe, in Nova Scotia once again. This is going to be a hoot.
Well, you know, my wife is coming up because she's got friends up there. You know, during my NASCAR career, she has some lady friends that she's excited. She goes, I'm going to come on up there. Got a couple friends that are going to be there, so that made me happy. And, you know, that's one of the reasons Kim's coming. But I told her, I said, listen, this is a beautiful country. The fans are just so nice. You know, that Thursday night, we had that big party inside the racetrack. I had a little bit of music going on and just had the time of our life. But I enjoy coming where people are so nice. And everybody's just been wonderful to me there last year. And looking forward to, you know, definitely, I don't show up just to race. You know, I have a lot of pride. I want to run competitively. So, you know, that's what we're coming to do. We're coming to run competitive, drink some beer with the fans, sign some autographs, and love everybody. You know, that's kind of what it's all about.
And I want to remind listeners as well, if by chance you're new to Twitter or you're new to racing, and you want to follow somebody on Twitter, you got to follow this guy, Kenny Wallace, Kenny_Wallace. Kenny, I got to ask you, I was looking at my phone just last night, seen a picture of you back in the day. Was that one of your first race cars?
Well, last night was quite a story. NBC, you know, NASCAR on NBC held a big conference call about 4 days ago. They wanted all the drivers to start hashtagging what was it? My track, my home track, whatever it is.
My roots, or something like that.
Yeah, my roots, something like that.
Yeah.
Basically, let everybody know that we grew up poor and that we had to work for it, which is true. So I went back into my archives and I grabbed a lot of pictures. A lot of people have this vision that if you are in NASCAR, you were born wealthy, which is totally false, just totally dumb, actually. So we made about five to six posts You see Dale Jr.'s done it. You know, a lot of other great drivers have done it. Oh, I know what it is. My track, my roots.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, so that's what we did. We wanted to show everybody that I did grow up poor, which we did, and show them that I was a crew member, and I, you know, for my brother Rusty, and I changed tires, and I was a crew chief in 1984 with Joe Ruttman on the Levi Garrett car. So, yeah, if you want to go through my timeline on Twitter, you can see what we did last night for NBC.
Well, it's a hoot. I can tell you that fans, you'll be entertained just watching Kenny on his tweets. But we all look forward to seeing you, Mr. Wallace, out at the IWK 250 in just about a week's time, my friend. Safe travels for you and Kim. And I know I look forward to having a good time come Thursday night and then straight through the weekend, buddy. Thanks so much for the time tonight here on Race Time.
Thanks so much for having me on your legendary radio show. You're definitely a Hall of Famer, and we'll see you at the racetrack.
Just doesn't get any better than Kenny Wallace. You know that?
He's a cool cat.
He's coming not just to race. He's coming to drink beer with the fans and have a good time. He's got a whole agenda.
Absolutely.
And that is Kenny Wallace.
And be competitive.
The guy you seen on Fox, the guy you seen drive NASCAR, the crazy Kenny Wallace, I'll tell you what, that is the same guy you're going to see at Riverside International Speedway. He will talk to you like he knows you forever.
Yep.
And that's Kenny Wallace.
Yep.
Yeah, he's
cool
tremendous.
Yeah, yeah, he's
love being in his company.
He's a great ambassador for the sport, and he's getting after it now. He's racing more now than he ever has, right? He's all over the map and turning laps on dirt, on asphalt. You know, you follow him along, and you know, he races throughout the year in outlaw super late models and dirt late models, and you know, dirt modifieds, and then he's got his own dirt program, you know, where, you know, it's not an appearance thing where he's coming in and he's got his own stuff and races. And it's really cool. He's a hard-nosed competitor, you know, obviously looking forward to as well seeing him up here in Canada or in Ontario for the Jocasta July 25th race. So, July 25th.
July 25th, yep. Thursday night.
Yep, so looking forward to, you know.
He's going to come into that sharp, you know that, right? He's going to, at the IWK 250, and then what, 4 days later, he's going to arrive in Ontario and be at Jocasta in the APC race.
Exactly, so he's racing, you know, back-to-back dirt or asphalt late model races in very similar race cars. You know, it's definitely interesting. Because he's turning so many laps on dirt, but really, you know, like it's his roots. He raced asphalt for years and he's super good at it.
Yeah.
And
dirt was something that he acquired a taste for.
Exactly.
It was Kenny Schrader that actually got him involved in dirt.
Yep.
And that happened late in his career.
For sure.
He grew up on asphalt. Kenny Wallace's second race ever. Where was it?
Cayuga.
That's exactly right. That's where it was. Cayuga. So he's going to be good there, too. I'm really convinced he's going to be good in that APC race.
The old Cayuga is not like the new Cayuga.
No, it's
going to be very interesting.
Tell you what.
He's going to walk in there and his eyes are going to pop out of his head.
They're going to fly out of his head.
I can't believe they have a facility like this in Canada.
Yeah.
But, well, not really. You know, he's at Riverside. Yeah, exactly. So the top, it's pretty cool, though. He's got a pretty neat job. He gets to race on two of the nicest oval tracks, you know, oval short tracks in North America.
Yes. Oh,
Riverside.
Guaranteed.
Riverside is stunningly gorgeous and you know, is super racy. And same with Jocasta. It's they're both drivers' racetracks.
Yeah. Big time.
If I wanted to go watch a race, I would want to watch a race from Riverside. If I was going to drive a race, I would want to drive on Jocasta.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with
that
wholeheartedly.
Not to say that racing on Riverside isn't fun. Like, that place is kick-ass.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's traffic all day long.
It's traffic. It's very tight. It's technical. You know, and Jocasta is very wide open, and you get to feel that speed. And I think that Jocasta looks like a lot of fun for guys. And Riverside gives guys nightmares.
If you've got 5 horsepower or more at Jocasta, you got something. Yeah, because you're going to be able to use it.
Those guys are spending $10,000 to find 5 horsepower
or
more.
I'd even say if you got 10 horsepower or more at Riverside, But you miss your setup by a tick. Hey, you ain't never going to see that 10 horse, buddy.
No.
You're going to end up somewhere around 10th or 20th.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Regan Smith, the only NASCAR driver other than Kenny Wallace to have the IWK 250 trophy in his hands. Can Kenny Wallace come back now and make it two in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Is Kenny better this year than he was last year?
I think he will be.
I think he is too, actually.
And
He's got more races under his belt.
Yeah, exactly. And he knows what to expect when he rolls in. Regan didn't win it on the first shot.
No.
Neither did Kenny, technically, across the line. Won it in the tech shed. He doesn't like that.
But what did Kenny say? Kenny said in that interview, I didn't know what to expect. When a guy is in your way, you got to give him a pop.
Yep.
You don't wreck him, but you got to give him a pop. You got to let him know that you're there. And I did not know that the last time.
Yeah.
So it must have happened to Kenny.
Oh, it happened a couple times.
Must have got a pop.
Yeah, must have.
And he got moved out of the way.
Yeah.
One thing, when I look back at the IWK 250 history and I see all the big NASCAR names that have come through, like Joey Logano, watching Joey on that racetrack, he finished third.
Mm-hmm.
But he had moments on that racetrack where he was just dazzling.
Yeah.
Just dazzling. And then, you know, things either went away on the car that he had or other competitors picked up.
Mm-hmm.
You get that experience. It's pretty hard to, I don't know, substitute experience in the IWK 250.
Yep.
Brad Keselowski, the year after he won his championship in NASCAR, was at the IWK 250, and he led right down to near the wire. And the number 52 car at that time was Sean Tucker.
Yep.
Sean Tucker gave Brad K just a little pop, pushed him up the racetrack, didn't wreck him, but he got on by him to win the IWK 250. And that special moment in my mind when I look at the history of it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you look at every single one of the guys starts out a little bit off the pace right out of the gate. On practice day, by the end of practice day, they're at the top of the charts, one, two, or three, usually P1 or close to. And, you know, when you look at it, Mark Martin, Regan Smith, Matt Crafton.
Matt three times.
Yeah, Matt three times. Kenny Wallace now rolling in for a second time.
Right.
Joey Logano. The names are stout. And for Regan to be the only guy holding the trophy, you know, with all the glory, with all the fans there.
Yes,
That's and I'm not taking anything away from Kenny's win. Kenny won it.
Yeah, he did.
But
he'd be the first to agree with you, though.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants to celebrate with the fans.
Yeah, 100%. That's
what he wants to do. So. It's going to be awesome. Tune in. We will have live coverage from Riverside International Speedway if you happen to have missed that. We will have live coverage starting at 4 p.m. Eastern next Saturday. Tune into racetimeradio.com. You won't miss a lap. You'll be joined by Jerry Paxton, Josh Paxton, Bradman, myself, and Tim Terry. We may even have Dylan Langell jump on with us. It'll be an entertaining broadcast, I can guarantee you, and it'll be an action-filled IWK 250. We look so forward to this race. I've called it for 9 years. Canada's ultimate short track race, and I do that for a reason. I did that the first year, and to me, it's Canada's ultimate short track race. It's going to be off the hook. We do have some MAV TV swag that we're going to be bringing along, too. We've got to thank Mike Garrow. He's sending some stuff in. We're going to bring you some MAV TV maybe to win out on the east coast of Canada, and amongst some of the races that we've got left. So something to look forward to. Always everything to look forward to in that IWK 250. And we can't wait. Next week on the show, you'll probably hear that IWK 250. And we look forward to that. But that's pretty well going to do it for you and I, Junior, here tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. Been a good show.
Came over, good weekend. Next weekend's my first weekend off in a little bit. Going to put my feet up, listen to the IWK 250 from here. Might take in the race over at Sauble. Don't know. But then on a plane Tuesday for Saskatoon and Edmonton for the West Coast
series.
For the West Coast swing.
Got to thank Susie here in the Racetime Radio studio for hooking us up. And we got to thank our guys back in Toronto for getting us on the air here on Sirius XM Channel 167. You have a good week, everybody. We'll catch you next time, next Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern on racetimeradio.com. Have a good week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.